Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, and with me today is my special guest, Dr. Mark Rubenstein, author of a just-released novel, Mad Dog House. Dr. Rubenstein's personal journey is as interesting as his novel, which is a gripping thriller revolving around three men who had shady beginnings, reinvented their lives, and found success, only to be reunited and to have the unrelenting power of the past challenge their present life experience. Hello, Dr. Rubenstein.
Hello, Cheryl. Please call me Mark.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Healing From Within is a radio show designed to encourage our listeners to recognize their physical life challenges, whether perceived as either good or bad or indifferent, as merely experiences, and also the basis for drawing upon inner wisdom and intuition to learn more about ourselves and discover ways to solve issues that may seem to have no resolution. In our self-investigation, we learn to master our emotions and hopefully not engage in decisions based on past mistakes. I hope today you and I may share some personal coincidences or synchronicity that will make us and our listeners laugh and also provide a clear view that while we are not completely, if at all, in control of our destiny, we are in control of our actions and choices. So, Mark, let's begin by telling our listeners something about where you grew up and your professional experiences as they unfolded and as you continued to strive for personal excellence.
Sure, Cheryl. Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. That's where I was born and spent the first 19 years of my life, and went to college, graduated with, believe it or not, a degree in business administration from NYU. I then, back in those days, the draft hung over everybody, so I went into the Army, and as luck would have it, and here I had no choice whatsoever, I was assigned to become a medical corpsman with the 82nd Airborne in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. That was certainly an event that changed my life because I just fell in love with the whole notion of patching up paratroopers and attending to them in the hospital and in the field. So when I got out of the Army, I decided that rather than go into business, I would return to college, take the pre-medical required courses. I was fortunate enough 2 years later to get into medical school and became ultimately a physician. And while I was training, I decided that the most interesting specialty for me would be psychiatry, simply because I felt that in psychiatry there was an endless array of stories. Every patient had a narrative tale to tell that was uniquely different. In other words, you could have 25 patients who were all, let's say, depressed, but they all had different stories to tell. And I became a psychiatrist and eventually went into forensic psychiatry, where I dealt with the law and its interface with psychiatry, and have practiced both general and forensic psychiatry for many years. Was always told that my case histories, as they were written or presented to juries, sounded like novellas or short stories, and I always
isn't that what our life is about? The gathering of experiences emerging into other people's stories, much like characters in your book. Now, your book was loaded with synchronicity for me, and in my book, Life is No Coincidence, I suggest that coincidences or connections are part of a spiritual life plan to realize our goals and are actually guidance from a higher source or energy field or dimension beyond this life to aid us in our life journey. So several of the coincidences with you personally from what I read in the book. Well, I grew up in Sheepshead Bay, as did you.
And yes.
And the doctor who delivered me was a family friend, and his name was Max Rubenstein.
How do you like that?
So when I saw, when your publicist approached me, mm-hmm. I saw that, and I immediately knew that we were supposed to have this talk today. And I just loved in the book revisiting Nostrand Avenue. I went to school over there, Sheepshead Bay.
I went to Lincoln.
Well, my husband went to Lincoln, and he was also in the medical corps.
Okay,
an
all
attorney,
right.
But
by the way, my grandfather's name was Max, but he was not a physician, and he never delivered a baby.
Okay, and in your book, I loved your reference to the Lone Ranger and his friend Tonto, who called him Kemosabe, because both those references are very distinct, and they were important guide points in my early development. And I guess you and I as healers hope to always help people get beyond the difficult moments of their life and make the right choices and develop their character also along the way. Now, your main character, Dr. Roddy Dolan, lives in an English Tudor house and has a son and daughter, as do I.
Okay.
And the son in your story is exhibiting challenging and difficult behavior, as did my son at the same age.
As did I at that age, too.
And as perhaps many teenage boys do. And
absolutely.
And then I had a laugh. There was a reference to the word whatever. You know how teenagers use that, and some grown-ups, too, which often means, I guess when said by teenagers, I couldn't care less. And,
absolutely.
And my daughter actually used that word quite frequently as a kid. So there are so many similarities between our lives and our beginnings. Now, in your book, you also wrote this line, memories dim for sure, but with the slightest prod, they rush back, flood the brain with light. It's like hearing an old song, and the lyrics come right back, just like riding a bicycle. You never.
Well, you really read the book, Cheryl.
Absolutely. Every word. Absolutely.
Well, Roddy has terrible memories from his childhood, and he rose above, in theme with what you try to do as a healer and with what I hope every physician attempts to do. Roddy did go on a path of, let's call it, for lack of a better word, enlightenment and self-actualization.
Yes.
And became, among other things, a surgeon, a loving a husband and father. And lo and behold, the past came back and bit him right on the behind.
In the book, you also talk about the recurring dream that he has.
Yes.
Which refers to what happened in his childhood. Now, I'm not going to relay that because our readers are going to read that and find out about that recurring dream. But,
well, they'll also find, just so that your listeners are not confused, I mean, the novel is called Mad Dog House because Roddy's nickname as a boy, his street moniker, was Mad Dog. And the novel, of course, is Mad Dog House. It's about Roddy and what happens to him and the adventure that he and his best friend and Kemosabe blood brother, Danny Burns, must go through.
Yes.
in this thriller of a harrowing tale in order to come to a final resolution.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mark, does being a psychiatrist affect your writing and your desire to tell this story of a young man and his development from his beginnings from a troubled family environment?
Well, I tell you, being a psychiatrist, of course, I'm in the human behavior field, so to speak, and I try to be a keen observer of people, but I always say that as a psychiatrist, once I leave the office, my meter goes off, but as a writer, it's always on. I find that while I do have a psychiatric training and education and background and many years of experience with patients, above all, I'm a human being, and I process what people do and say and how they make me feel and think, and that registers deeply with me. And while occasionally I can step back, as we all do, and process it and integrate it a little bit, perhaps more than someone else might, ultimately, when you're a writer, you've got to capture the human experience in a digestible way. You can't provide psychiatric formulae, and that's why.
Because everyone is so unique, and
absolutely.
Everyone has so many spiritual gifts and awarenesses. And I think part of life is just being here to observe our own actions and reactions and the actions of others, but to learn to do it without judgment. Because if you can master that, then you can flow through life seeing the very best in yourself and others. And I think that's part of a good and healthy experience. Now, I have read a book. It's called Human Types. which describes seven body types. It's a psychology book, and it shows how people of each sort of body type exhibit certain personality traits and behavior. And when we recognize patterns in people and their behavior, we can learn to respect them for what they are, not want them to change to be what we are necessarily, and to find people that we flow maybe in better harmony with, you know, like the law of attraction suggests. There is a magnetic pull to connect with certain experiences and people. And your book shows that, that there was a pull from a couple of friends from the past to go into their future, but then there was a pull back, and they had a choice to make.
Absolutely.
And I think it boils down to this: as we mature, as our soul matures, our spirit matures, and our life experiences show us that if we go down to the basic gut instinct or spiritual intuitiveness, we can have the courage to make choices. And that's what I think we hope for our children, and we hope to teach them to be able to react to what's best for them at any given moment, and to learn perhaps to say no when that is best for them. Would you agree? Absolutely, Cheryl.
Absolutely. Yep. In fact, you know, Roddy had a choice when he was 17 in the novel, and he makes that, you of course know what I'm referring to, and he makes a bad choice, and yet out of that bad comes a good option for him. He's given the opportunity to either go to prison or spend 3 years in the army rather than go to prison for 2 years, and he chooses the army, and that transforms his life. And he then proceeds on a very positive note, having made a wonderful choice which was transformative. And then he and his best friend Danny make what really amounts to a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're left with nothing but bad choices in terms of extricating themselves. And that, of course, is at the heart of the novel. Do we ever outgrow our past? Do we ever really get beyond what we once were? If so, how? And can things pull us back to where we were? And a host of other questions that take the guise of, in this case, Mad Dog House, a thriller. But I think everything that you say is applicable to this novel. It really
does fit. Yeah. Now, this novel is a thriller filled with violence and its effect on our psyche and our families. Now, why did you write a novel? I know why you did. I believe I do. But I'd like to hear your answer. Why did you write? We'll see if I agree with it. Why did you write a novel about our darker impulses?
Well, you know, I think most of us would try to, if we can, disavow these darker impulses. But generally, most people, of course, you can't categorize everybody this way, but most people are excited and intrigued by violence, by something that can at times be very, very ugly. I mean, you know, if you look at the foul arc of history, since human beings began populating the earth, there's always been violence. It's always been with us. The latest iterations of it involve Newtown, Connecticut, and beyond. There are always those among us who are capable of violence. We all have some strange fascination at times. Look at the way people rubberneck when there's an accident on the side of the road. Violence is unfortunately a part of the human experience, and part of our task, I guess, is to get beyond that.
Yes.
And to and to rise above the need to resort to violence. But it is one of the compelling forces in life, certainly for young people, for young men. And it is at the source of, whether it be psychologically or if you want to speak metapsychologically or philosophically, it is a part of what ends up
Mark, I think we do focus very much on good and bad experiences.
Sure.
And I think we do realize that we all have good intentions, and sometimes in an effort to survive and to go past any trauma, we sometimes draw on something that we need for that survival mode. It's kind of like the limbic or reptilian primitive mind and ego presence.
Absolutely.
It does exist. It is part of our DNA coding. But as we learn more about ourselves and what really will make the world a better place, I think higher vibrational or evolved people, and we are all evolving, will recognize when they're being pulled back into those primitive emotions and yes. thinking, and they'll start to move past it and not engage it. But we do have to experience it.
And Roddy does. You know, Roddy is a healer and a physician. He's a surgeon and a family man, and he lives in a lovely suburb north of New York City in Westchester. And despite all of that, he finds himself being drawn into a whirlpool of at least potentially violent and threatening situations over which he feels at least at some point he has no control. And
sometimes we do have no control over what happens, but then it is, you know, we can ask for professional help. We can ask for other people to come in so we can make the best choice. And ultimately, he asks his friend to help him do something that needs to be done. Now, your novel involves people reverting to their past ways. Can people ever really change?
Well, that's a very, very
big question.
It's a loaded and huge question. As a psychiatrist treating people who, at least on the surface, want to change, I know how difficult change is, particularly when we're talking about personality or character type, or sometimes referred to as character armor. You know, the usual way that a person exists and sees himself or herself in the world, as opposed to symptoms, the way a person is with other people, the way he or she relates to others and perceives the world around that person. It's very difficult to change. We all know people who have ended up repeating the same maladaptive patterns again and again, despite their stated wish to change. You know, Freud had a name for that back more than 100 years ago. He called it the repetition compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, we all do repeat certain elements of our pasts or of our tendencies. I like to put it this way, that if I'm working with a patient and trying to get that person to change, if we view change as existing on an axis, let's say a 90-degree angle, if I can get that angle to change by a couple of degrees, I've accomplished a lot.
Well, Mark, as a Reiki energy practitioner and intuitive healer, I often remind people that doing the same thing over and over and achieving the same results is a form of not being well or insanity, because we all hope for love and health and prosperity, as did Roddy in, I'm pronouncing his name right?
Roddy. You're thinking of Roddy Clint Eastwood.
Something like that. Okay. And in the book, and he partially achieved it, but only to be pulled back. So I personally assist people in recognizing their patterns from childhood and their fears, and feeling their own energy flow within them so they can connect to a higher level of their own thinking and realize their potential for being more courageous. And I believe with effort and hard work that you can get beyond these repetitive situations. But sometimes in traditional therapy, people focus on the same situation over and over and talking about it, and sometimes that just keeps the energy the same. And
negative energy just perpetuates itself. Negativity does.
So we've got to create something new. And to remind ourselves that we can always choose good over evil, but it takes a great deal of effort and to be with people and to make new situations happen. So change is only possible with awareness and new perceptions of who we are and
Absolutely.
How we can manifest from our thoughts and actions a different life. So,
Roddy Dolan could have and should have spoken to you.
But then we wouldn't have the wonderful book that you wrote.
Well.
You know, I really think you were also in this book trying to show what I'm talking about, that when these possibilities happen, that we've got to go deeper within ourselves to remind ourselves of what's really important And sometimes we don't have the wherewithal or the chance to do that. So then we just have to correct whatever happens in any way that will work the best for the most people involved. So I realize for many people, this is not possible yet. They are not able to make these shifts yet because they don't truly understand the laws of cause and effect and are often still blaming others for problems and not taking personal responsibility. But your character in the book did take personal responsibility for his choice and actions, and he was trying very hard to let go of those old imprints and hurts that were given to him by his beginning family life. And he did it. In my estimation, doesn't matter how it worked out. He did what he had to do in order to protect many people. And
to protect not only his present and his family, but his future and his family's future, as he saw it. And you're very right, Cheryl. He did what he had to do. You know, it reminds me of a line that was used with great humor in The Sopranos, where I don't know if you were a Sopranos fan, but where Silvio...
exactly a fan.
Okay, well, one of the characters in the family keeps jokingly saying, a la The Godfather, I want to get out and be good, but it keeps pulling me back.
Well, that I like. I like when any show shows the possibilities of someone overcoming what they know instinctively in their heart is not the right way for them, and they do get out. I do like seeing that. Now, Mark, as fathers or mothers, many of us are concerned about the legacy we leave for our children. Is it possible or even healthy to shelter our kids from our past mistakes?
Well, you know, it depends on what those mistakes were. I think every parent wants his or her child to benefit from mistakes that were made when the parent was younger. And I think we all want our kids to have it better or easier or whatever than we did if we perceive ourselves as having had a tough childhood. It's not always possible. I mean, you know, today we often hear about helicopter parents, you know, those who hover over their kids and escort them everywhere and who are so involved to the point where the kids don't even have, you know, a modicum of real freedom and independence. It's a fine line.
I agree. That's a problem.
It can be a problem with some parents.
It's a problem right now. Because I work in an office where there are a lot of children coming in with many different handicaps, speech problems, neurological problems, autism. Mm-hmm. And the parents still, no matter what a child's condition is or challenge, they need to be encouraged to develop independence and a trust in their own decision making. And I'm glad you addressed that about the parents that hover too much over it. Now,
every child needs to separate and individuate in some way, given that some children may not, because of a handicap or a disability of some sort, even if that's a politically incorrect word to use these days, some kids are not going to have all the wherewithal that others do, but to whatever extent possible, a child does have to separate and become his or her own person, and that's sometimes difficult for parents. But to get back to your question, we can't shelter our kids from everything, and the world can at times be a difficult place, and we have to let some mistakes be made by our children, and they will learn from their mistakes. We can't shelter them from every bad thing there is.
I liked it when your main character said to his son, who was acting up, he tells his son that when he's thinking about right or wrong, he should listen to the little voice in his head. Now, that's the little voice that I work with, that intuition or that higher guidance that is there with love to guide us through and maneuver us through the challenges so, again, we can make good choices and help ourselves and others. And that little voice or instinct is really inner wisdom and goodness. And every person is born with that, no matter what physical or emotional challenge they have. It's the higher self, not actually the ego or mind, which is our physical life, but that inner life, which is there for us to delve into. And I believe we're all born with this spiritual plan and experiences that we have to go through in order to refine our character and our soul essence so we can reach for new ways to perceive and experience these challenges.
Yes, and in Mad Dog House, Roddy tries to get his son, Tom, to understand that there is a voice within him that will tell him the right thing to do, or at least send up an alarm, a signal, when he's thinking of doing the wrong thing. And, of course, Roddy knows this from his own firsthand experiences as a kid, and that's part of what the book is about.
Yeah, and I like the way you describe character. That's been a word that's been important to me. In Mad Dog House, the main character has changed in many ways, but certain things, a few of his character traits, have been difficult to change. And I will agree that for a person's personal agenda or to impress others is not change at all. A person really only changes and their character only improves when it can be seen coming from the soul or heart and with a higher view of life and love and beauty. And you did describe that, and I find character and courage and love are needed now more than ever as our world is changing and we're faced worldwide with so many challenges at this
challenges,
point.
Yes.
Yeah, in the environment, in the healthcare systems, in the educational systems, and a character is really what we need to instill in our children.
Absolutely.
And it's happening. Yeah.
And we look for it in our political leaders, and sometimes it's very difficult to find it.
I do know that. Yes, it is very difficult to find it. But it is, things are changing, and people are becoming aware that change will happen and must happen. So I want to thank you, Dr. Mark Rubenstein, for joining me on Healing From Within to talk about your new book, Mad Dog House. I enjoyed reading a suspenseful book of fiction that also offered readers a window to their past and seeing that bad situations will repeat themselves, but the wisdom of experience and intuition are there for us to use. To purchase this book, go to markrubenstein-author.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Dr. Rubenstein and I have offered several viewpoints which may help to recognize that each interaction with either new or former people in our life offers an opportunity to learn something about ourselves or others. No matter how a situation turns out, it may have been exactly the right situation for us to conquer a misguided thought or a behavior pattern. Each of us must take personal responsibility for our part in its creation and, without blaming others, do the best we can to correct the situation. There are consequences when we do not honor that inner voice of reason and when we make choices only based on financial gain. As we wish our children to make choices that do not place them in dangerous or harmful situations, so we must be the example by how we live a peaceful, honorable, and loving life. Telling children what they should do, but not doing the right thing ourselves, does not bode well for the way they will live their lives. If you love, you must become more loving. To create a better world, we need to work on our own individual development. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit the radio page of my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in the field of science, spirituality, medicine, education, and the arts to explore new visions of higher consciousness and healthy lifestyles.